Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
What's up, Deucers? Before we get started with the show today, I want to tell you about Blue Wire Hustle, a brand new program where you can host your very own podcast here at Blue Wire. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or if you want to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive personal cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to our community Discord, and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. And on top of that, we'll help you get your show pushed out to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and all other listening platforms. The best part is you can get all of this for only $15 a month. And I can tell you that that's a deal from the experience of being an independent podcaster. It's the wild, wild west out there, people. Blue Wire Hustle, it's a steal at $15 a month. It's the same rate as any other hosting site would charge you, and you wouldn't get any of the other stuff. It would just be the initial setup, and then you'd be left on your own. So whether you're starting from scratch or have an existing show that you want to grow, Hustle is an open door to leveling up your sports podcasting experience. But here's the thing. Acceptance to the program is limited, and that's in all caps. So you know it's limited. So get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Check out the description in the description box on this episode to find out more, and I'll have a link there. But that's bwhustle.com/join. Welcome to the NBA Morning Deuce. Fry Deuce. It's Friday. What's about to be Friday? February 26th. Last show of the week. Alex, what time is it?
11:30 p.m. on the East Coast.
On the East Coast. So it's about to be Friday.
Honestly, it's 8:30 on the West Coast, which is the only time that matters because that's what Top Shots is going by these days. So
that's,
I think,
true.
I'll just start doing West Coast times.
That's true. There are 6 games to go through tonight. There are some... It's not really news. It's just like comments and rumors to discuss. And it was another whirlwind of a day in the NBA Top Shot world. Just tugging at our emotions all day with this premium pack drop. Needless to say, nobody got any premium packs, and we don't know when anyone's going to get
that
premium
packs. I'm skeptical of foul play here, Joey. I'm concocting all kinds of conspiracies here.
Well, the a lot of people are saying that the top shot people are concerned that bots are getting in.
Yeah.
And that they're trying to avoid that. And that's why they keep pushing back the drops, which I'm fine with that, I guess, if that gives me a better chance. I also felt really good today, though. Like, I felt really good about it. So
I woke up to a message that came in really late last night that is, I'm just juiced for this pack drop.
Yeah, man. I was all over it. I was at work. Everyone was like, I'm not paying for this. And I was like, all right, well, get in line and I'll pay you if you get one. And then when I'm on a yacht, I don't know who you are.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. So
no yacht. If there's bots, that didn't rhyme as well as I thought it was going to, but
it was pretty good. Okay. It was pretty good. I mean, yacht and bot do basically something there. It is a direct rhyme for sure. Six games Thursday night, one still in progress as we record, and it looks like it's going to be a good one. So we will probably end up doing potentially some live reaction here. The Bucks, it looks like the Bucks and the Pelicans are tied. On NBA.com, it says 105-105. On my TV, it says 105-103. So we will get into that game in a little bit. I don't want to talk too much about it because we don't know how it's going to end. Zion, you're very high on what Zion is doing. I am not. We can discuss that in a little bit because there are things about the Pelicans and in particular Zion that are not being discussed enough. I talk about it all the time, but not being discussed enough. But I guess since that game is still going on, we can discuss the games that ended. And one of them that just finished minutes ago, the Wizards back in the win column. They've now won four of their last five. They're just playing good basketball.
They're rolling. That's what the point is. They're absolutely rolling.
Yeah, their only loss over the last two weeks is to the Clippers.
Mm-hmm. And they've beaten a bunch of good teams along the way.
They beat the Lakers. And then beat the Nuggets tonight, 112-110. Russell Westbrook, the type of triple-double I think you want to start seeing from him, which is 16-10-10 as his career gets to this point. Still not really efficient from the field, but 16-10-10. Brad Beal with 33. They're just playing good basketball and slowly creeping their way up the standings still. They're now 12-18, but 2.5 games out of the playoffs. And it's amazing how the East works right now, because yesterday on the show, we were discussing how it's crazy that the Heat are in the playoffs. And now all of a sudden the Heat are in 10th place.
There's just so much movement because it's so tight. It's so jammed up
because the Knicks won, which we'll talk about. So the Knicks jumped. It's going to be nuts, but it's cool to see. I like Brad Beal. I'm happy to see him winning games.
It's good.
So more of the story, because the Wizards have been playing well, is that the Nuggets are just not playing well. Mm-mm. And they're defensively, they are just, even with Will Barton back, he only played 22 minutes. They're just not good defense. Their defense is just non-existent at this point. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Because for a long time, they were a defensive team. They were top 10.
We had major concerns in the playoffs last year when they played the Jazz. We were talking about after games 1 and 2, we're like, this team isn't playing any defense, and they turned it around. So I'm kind of like, I'm just wondering if something's off or they're just not focused. But I feel like they have the pieces. They don't have Jeremy Grant. So that's a big
part. That was huge. That's huge. Also, Jermichael Green, Paul Millsap, Gary Harris are all still out. So it's, again, and Will Barton. I think this is either his first or second game back, and he's one of their better defenders. They're starting Monty Morris, who's not a great defender. We know Jokic is not a great defender. I'm fairly certain, as good as we know Michael Porter can be, he's never going to be a great defender. So, and it's play Bol Bol. I think that's the point of the whole thing is we're just waiting for that. It's kid Zeke Nnaji comes in, still, again, played 14 minutes, 2 fouls. 1 rebound. Like that can't be better than what Bol Bol can bring to you.
It's so
even
bizarre.
If Bol Bol is not, like, even if they're worried he's going to get fouls, you know, it seems like, okay, if he's only going to play 14 minutes, then who cares if he fouls out? I bet you he's still going to get you 10 points and 6 rebounds.
Mm-hmm. Like, and disrupt some shots here. And
right, exactly.
So it's getting to the point where, like, did he sleep with someone in the organization that he wasn't supposed to? Like, it's absolutely bizarre. I don't understand.
I'm not sure what's happening there, but free Bol Bol. I mean, we're just going to keep having to keep saying it. Free Bol Bol. Somebody's going to hear us. Some team's going to go out and get the guy.
Yeah.
And then he'll be unleashed on the NBA, and it'll be great. It will be great. I'm not because of how good the West is right now. I know that Denver is going to be a playoff team, but I am concerned for the second half where they're going to fall and whether they can be successful in the playoffs. Because basically everyone above them, other than I guess San Antonio, everyone's kind of better. Phoenix is much better. The Clippers are better.
I'm not totally sure about Portland. I think Denver is better than Portland.
Yeah, but I don't think Denver would end up playing Portland. Those top four teams seem locked into me at this point. Other than the Lakers, if Anthony Davis isn't healthy and they go on a major slide. But if the Lakers stay in the top four, I don't see the Jazz, Clippers, or Suns falling out of that top four. I think that's locked. It's not guaranteed, but I think it's pretty locked in that those are the four best teams and should be the top four seeds. So Denver's going to have to play one of those four teams. And I don't know that Denver, unless they go on some kind of wild run like they did in the bubble, can compete as it currently stands with those teams, as good as Jokic and Murray have the potential to be. I just don't see how they match up right now, the way they're playing and even the way their roster is, because again, those teams got better.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, it's a good point. I hadn't considered it. Now, what I really want to see is a Jazz Nuggets run it back in the first round. That would be awesome. I don't think the Nuggets would fare too well in that series, but I'd love to see it. I mean, they beat them last year in an epic series.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And that was the first round, right? No, it was the second round.
I think that was the second. No, that was the first round, I think.
Yeah, because then they beat the Clippers.
Yeah.
They came back from...
It was an unreal first round.
That would be pretty wild. And last year, what was it? The Jazz were 8 and the Nuggets were 1? Or the Jazz were 7 and the Nuggets were 2? I think
it was 2-7, yeah.
Wow. How the tables have turned.
Yeah.
Right? The Jazz blow a 3-1 lead, come back with a vengeance, get the 1 seed. Nuggets come back from 2-3-1 leads, come back, shit the bed, fall to a 7 or 8 seed. Pretty interesting.
I knew not being able to retain Jeremy Grant was going to hurt them, but it looks maybe like it really, really hurt them.
Injuries. They're not healthy.
Yeah, it's too soon. You're right.
There's just a lot of teams that are just not healthy this year. It is, unfortunately, has become like an every night thing, when, especially for us doing this 5 nights a week, going through every single game. It's become like a thing. It's come to the point where almost like half the games that we talk about, we're like, oh, how can you really evaluate this team? Everyone's hurt. They're never healthy. And I don't know that. And I also think that the league, I actually was thinking about this earlier. It's also an unfortunate product of 82 game season now, and the way teams understand the value of their players, that the season is so long. And well, it's 72 games this year, but normally the season's so long that good teams that know they can make the playoffs have the attitude that we say a lot, which is like, we don't need, what matters is being healthy for the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. And it's 100% valid. It's just not great for the product, for sure.
Well, and it's hard to say then, and it's hard to like evaluate on a night to night basis. Mm-hmm. How is this team? Is this team good? Is this team bad? Half their players don't play because they're keeping them healthy, which is understandable. But yeah, not good for the product. Not good for. I also think there is something to the idea of building continuity. Like when players are consistently not playing, and then you just say, well, we're going to be good in the playoffs.
Yeah,
I don't know that's necessarily always true.
We've seen that blow up for a bunch of teams, and then we've seen it not matter for other teams. But
I'm a big supremely leader. Talented.
Yeah,
not these teams are not all supremely talented. Yeah. No, they're all very good, but there's only a handful. There's probably three teams in the NBA that you could say right now are like supremely talented, mm-hmm. and one of them rests their players half the time, and it blows up in their face. The Clippers.
Yeah. Yeah, so. I don't think it's. I mean, it's risky to, but building that continuity is so important. So I'm with you there.
Yeah. Speaking of the Clippers, they got dog walked mm-hmm. tonight. 122-94. They lost to the Grizzlies. And there's a very important reason why this happened. Do you know what it is?
Does it have something to do with Grayson Allen starting? Anything
no,
like that?
Grayson's been starting for a while.
Hit me.
It's another starter.
Oh, Dylan the villain.
The return of the villain.
What did you hear me say? I said Dylan Brooks. What did you hear originally?
I heard Grayson Allen.
No. That was some sort of Zoom glitch, I think.
You said Dylan.
Dylan Brooks twice, yeah.
You know what I think, though? I think I want to change it to the villain, Dylan Brooks, instead of Dylan the villain Brooks.
Yeah, I'm with that.
I like it better.
Pause in there.
I like it better. I think Dylan Brooks. Yeah, I think generally nicknames they do the first name and then it's the Dylan the villain Brooks. I like the villain Dylan Brooks.
Sets it apart.
Yeah,
love it.
There's a wrestler that I was thinking about when I keep saying villain. There's a wrestler who's the villain Marty Scurll.
That doesn't flow at all. But
no, but awesome. he's the villain. It's not supposed to rhyme. I don't think it's supposed to rhyme.
I was just fully expecting whoever you were talking about to be named Dylan.
Yeah. No, he's the villain, and then I was like, oh, that sounds good for Dylan, the villain Dylan Brooks.
Yeah, I like it.
And they lost two in a row entering this game. They were not looking great in their last three with the villain Dylan Brooks out, and he comes back. Second in scoring for them, but obviously just changes the dynamic for that squad. Mm-hmm. They come out and have one of their best wins of the year. They beat the Clippers by 28.
Absolutely smoked them. They win 33-19 in the fourth quarter. I'm assuming Paul George was on another minutes restriction or something, or I just don't get some of these losses by the Clippers where they just get fully dicked on. And it's like, how?
Dicked on. That's an interesting way to put
it. Pat Beverly, negative 18.
They get a real good dicking.
I don't know.
I think this is the game tonight that I bring up every night now that it just reeks of let's get to the break. And probably they also have always struck me as one of those teams where if they're getting blown out early, they ain't coming back.
Yeah.
And they're just going to rest their guys, move on to the next one. They are the epitome of we only care about the playoffs.
Right.
They're the poster child in the NBA for the playoffs are all that matters. So it's probably a mandate from the front office, even. It's probably to Ty Lue where it's just, hey, if we're getting beat down, just rest those guys. Why force it? We're going to win enough games to make to the playoffs.
Yeah. I don't like the strategy because that sort of thing, I have to think, comes into play when you're blowing 3-1 leads in the playoffs, you know, as games are getting tighter. And, you know, if you don't practice closing a team out getting a gritty win during the season as much as you could.
Yeah.
I mean, I
don't know. And they also have had a tendency this year to blow big leads.
Right.
So I don't know. They could be making some moves here. I would be surprised. I think they got to be looking to make moves.
Yeah.
There is a report, and which we'll also get into because of another report, but there was a report that they are in the market for a veteran point guard, which correlates with something we'll talk about after we get done talking about the games. But is anyone surprised? Patrick Beverly stinks and he's a scumbag. So they need to. I mean, that's a big thing for them.
Mm-hmm. We're not surprised. That would, to shore up that spot, would make them a lot scarier, in my opinion.
Especially if they get the guy that we're going to talk about. So, you know what I noticed in this game, outside of the villain, just, you know, balling out and taking this team to another level. Justice Winslow is now playing. It feels like he hasn't played in a year. He hasn't played since the Heat traded him, I don't think. Last game was his first game back, but watching them, I don't know if you've ever noticed this. Most people probably haven't noticed it because they don't watch Grizzly games. But Ja Morant has one braid dyed red, like reddish.
Okay.
And Justice Winslow has like three braids dyed green, but they're his, like Ja Morant's red and Justice Winslow's green are the color of the red and the green in the Grizzlies jerseys.
That's pretty badass.
It looks pretty sick. I never noticed it with Ja because it's just one small one.
Uh-huh.
But then they were standing next to each other. I noticed it, but Justice has like three or four braids on one side of his head, and it's the exact same green as the Memphis, like that's throwback. Cool. Not their new ones, because their new jerseys are like bluish.
Mm-hmm. No, I know the green ones.
The throwback green ones, it's the same color.
I love the color scheme on the throwback for the Grizzlies.
Let me just say, I'm shocked that no player has ever done that before. It looks badass.
Yeah. Maybe it'll I definitely can't remember. An Eagles player has done that, but I know that doesn't really matter.
Their players have done it, like dyed their hair and done. Obviously, Dennis Rodman's the guy who always comes to mind, mm-hmm. but we've seen players do stuff. I just don't remember, like,
matching it with the jerseys.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I like it.
Well, especially because you don't wear the same jersey every night. Mm-hmm. But also, there's a couple things here. One is Justice Winslow's a millionaire, and he's also a very attractive man. So it's like he doesn't matter.
Yeah,
doesn't like matter. If he's just walking around with a green streak in his hair, no one cares. Like, oh, he's so good looking. It's cool.
Like if I did the blue for NBA Morning Deuce and walked around, it wouldn't work at all.
Yeah, it would
also, for two different reasons. One, I'm not good looking, and two, nobody would know what the.
Also, no one would notice it because the blue is so dark that it would just kind of look like you had one off colored piece of hair.
Yeah. And also nobody knows I'm the host of this podcast as well. So there's
I don't know. I think no one's listening. So.
Right.
Let's talk about your guys. Philly beat the Mavericks 111-97. I can't believe you could watch this game. And I didn't even watch the game, but I didn't even watch the whole game. I watched some of it. Like pieces here and there,
mm-hmm.
how you could watch this game and just consistently hate Ben Simmons. Like there's not a lot of guys playing defense on Luka Doncic the way Ben Simmons did in this game. There just aren't.
I'll tell you if you want to get into it, the reason I hate him, and he can reverse it all this year. He really can, but
he hasn't reversed it at all. They're the best team in the East. He's an all-star. He's one of the best defensive players in the NBA.
The playoff loss to the Raptors 2 years ago, and the year before that, the playoff loss to the Celtics. The same things happened. They shut him down in the fast break. And
so we're talking 2 and 3 years ago.
Yes, and he hasn't changed his game whatsoever. He's become a better defender, and he's an elite defender. Yeah. But I've seen this team get bounced in the playoffs because they scheme up how to make Ben Simmons literally a non-factor and play 4-on-5 against the Sixers in the half court. So until he reverses that and we beat a good team in the playoffs, then I have to hammer him for going 4 years now and not expanding his game one bit. Now, he is an elite defender. That's not negotiable. I can't hate on that. He's unbelievable defensively. But that's the regular season. I mean, and he can give us good minutes defensively in the playoffs, but if they make this team 4-on-5, then we're going to lose that series. So that is why I really can't stand his game.
Yeah, you're just a hater. I think it's more just that you're a hater.
Possibly. We'll see what happens this year.
That's true. Tobias Harris got hurt. Don't know what the issue is. They're going to do tests. But I can't really tell from the reactions because I didn't see what the play was. But like, can't tell if people think it's serious or not.
They're calling it just a contusion, but they need to do tests to make sure something's not structurally wrong, which that sends up some red flags.
Yeah, but that's normal. That always happens. That they always do that. They do it the next day, so the swelling goes down and all that would suck. He's having probably the best year of his career, or at least since they signed his contract.
I think it is his best year. Because his number, he was having an amazing season the last time he played for Doc and then got traded to the Sixers his numbers dipped a little bit, but
right.
something with him and Doc just works.
Something with Doc and everybody. Doc's a good coach.
Yeah.
He's just, he has not had the best track record in the playoffs other than the one year that he, but also as much as we knock him for his playoffs, like maybe he just didn't have championship teams, you know,
mm-hmm.
that's entirely possible.
It's possible. Yeah.
So, but his teams are always good in the regular season.
Yeah. My other takeaway is that the All-Star break cannot get here soon enough for Joel Embiid. He looks run down. I hope he doesn't play very much in the All-Star game. He just looks like he needs a break and then can hopefully come back. He's had a stretch of pretty bad games here for his standards. He's 23 tonight, but it's 5 of 20 shooting. Luka did not
looks the look same. Good. I was going to say it looks the same for Dallas.
Yeah.
That the break can't come soon enough for them.
Luckily for Philly, they're still scraping up wins. Dallas is now, I mean, they're making it tough for themselves to make the playoffs here. If you had to bet right now, if they were going to make the playoffs, what would you say?
Cause I'm Dallas.
Yeah. I'm leaning pretty.
Well, heavy. You made the point. You texted me during the game, basically saying if they don't make a move for a big that they're no shot in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But it might be to the point where if they don't make a move for a big, they don't make the playoffs.
It's starting to look, I'm wondering.
The West is loaded, dude. The mm-hmm. West is loaded. There are teams that are playing better than we expected them to play. Outside of those bottom teams that are just horrendously bad,
mm-hmm.
there are even, you know, like we're watching the Pelicans right now, who are an atrocious defensive team, but they are just scoring at an absurd clip. So they're going to start winning some more games. I would say no, they're not a playoff team right now. I think
so too. I can't believe
it. I think Porzingis not being healthy is going to destroy them. I think you're pretty right about the Josh Richardson, Seth Curry trade. It's not a great fit. Seth Curry is proving to be an incredibly valuable player for whatever team he's on because he's just such a good, he's just mm-hmm. such an absurdly good shooter that he changes your offense, similar to what we always talk about with the guys like JJ and the Duncan Robinsons and stuff like that. So, and then Dwight Powell never really returned. That's going to kill them. You know, he had that major injury. He's never been right. He's still not right. He only played 10 minutes. He was supposed to be a big factor for them going forward. But obviously, ultimately, at the end of the day, yeah, the Porzingis thing is just crushing for the franchise.
Yeah.
They should still be good. They should still be a borderline playoff team. But it's not even like they don't have Porzingis, but they have some other bigs. They have no bigs that are like competent bigs. Like they're starting Boban now, who I mm-hmm. love, but it's Boban. Right.
And Willie Cauley-Stein is still getting 17 minutes. He honestly, I don't know if it's like a timing thing every time I see him, but from what I've seen this year, he looks like one of the worst players in the entire league. Willie Cauley-Stein is really bad.
Yeah. I mean, he's bounced around a lot and most teams don't want him.
And when you're giving a guy like that 17 minutes, I don't think you can make the playoffs that way. But there's a lot of room to, I mean, they could do something major. I just don't know if Porzingis' value is anywhere where you'd want it to be if you're Dallas.
If I was coaching Dallas, and I'm not ever, and Rick Carlisle, I think he's probably underrated as a coach in the NBA. I think he's been a great coach for a long time, and he's still one of the best coaches. I would consider putting Tim Hardaway in the starting lineup and bringing Josh Richardson off the bench because I think if you stagger Luka and Josh Richardson would be much better leading the second unit and being the primary ball handler and go-to scorer on a second unit. And he fits better with Jalen Brunson. And Tim Hardaway fits good with anybody because he's just a flat-out scorer. And I think he'd be a good fit to start games and maybe get out to some faster starts. Just get out, try to outscore some people early on to offset the fact that you are going to give up a ton of points because you just have no defense.
Yeah. No, I like that a lot. That would make a lot of sense to me.
I'd just do something because you just don't look good right now. Like make some kind of change. And Josh Richardson's he just doesn't look great with this team. He doesn't look great with the starting line. I mean, it just hasn't worked out yet. There's time, but I think I've always thought he was a backup. I thought he was a backup in Miami. I thought that Miami was not a very good team when he was really good.
Right.
And it was one of those typical things with fans and the league in general that a guy who is good but starts on a bad team gets a little bit more hype than they probably should be. Then he gets traded to Philly to replace Jimmy Butler. And everyone's like, oh, well, they traded him to replace Jimmy Butler to be a starter. He must be good. He's not. I don't think he's ever really been a starter to me. I think he's always been a really, really good player off the bench.
His skill set is actually, I think, suited to be a very good sixth man, like you're saying.
Sure.
But yeah, when like his numbers, when he was that trade for Jimmy Butler, he was coming off leading the Heat in scoring, I think, that year. So like his hype and his expectations,
but they weren't that good. High. They weren't.
I know. Yeah. You're dead on. Yeah.
That's the thing. It's one of those things where it's so hard to evaluate how good players really are when they're on bad teams because somebody has to score.
Yep. Like everybody in the NBA is really good. We say it all the time. Yeah. So when you're the guy that's going to get the most shots, you're probably going to put up some good numbers.
And I don't think he's great off the ball. I think he's a ball dominant player, mm-hmm. which you can't be successful offensively in an offense with Luka Doncic if you're a ball dominant player. Also, it just doesn't work. And also not an elite shooter. If he was a ball dominant player, but he was also like Kyrie. So, I mean, that's different because it's one of the best shooters in the NBA. So he could play off the ball more. Josh Richardson's not that. He's a good shooter, not a great shooter. So, hey, I'm really crushing transitions.
Yeah, you had an amazing one last night too.
Speaking of Kyrie, 8 in a row now for that team. Brooklyn beat the Magic 129-92. Kevin Durant's still not playing.
Haven't lost without Kevin Durant.
Yeah. They're just beating the brakes off of everybody. And they look, when you watch them, like this team truly enjoys playing basketball with each other already in such a short amount of time with James Harden there. And it's so fascinating to see how the narrative around James Harden has shifted already back to he's a top 5 player in the NBA. Like there's people saying that he should be in the mix for MVP.
It's remarkable. I didn't think this was going to work as well as it has. And that's why I'm so fascinated or I'm so eager to see what happens in the playoffs because there's just no doubt they're going to score a crazy amount of points every single night and make trying to defend them a nightmare. And just, I don't know if there's anyone else whose offense can keep up with it. I don't think it's going to, like, I don't
it's
know.
It's going to be tough.
I think their toughest matchup, honestly, will be the Sixers in the playoffs. That's the team with the best pieces to try to bother this team enough.
Because they can't guard Embiid.
I'm talking defense, like enough to bother these guys where they're not scoring 130 points every single night. You know, you've got a rim protector, you've got Simmons.
Philly's defense is good, but I don't think there's any defense shutting these guys down.
Then they're gonna win the East.
Not consistently. Like,
yeah, no, I know. It's hard to imagine a scenario where a team in the East wins a 7-game series against them. I mean, it's a joke. They're 129 without the best scorer in the league. Like, what are we doing?
Oh, yeah, they're playing the Magic. That's part of it. Who's been playing great for them? Is Bruce Brown. This is what I guess good organization, well-run organizations, this is what they do. They poach the shitty organizations and they like steal guys that shitty organizations just give up on. Mm-hmm. They just stole Bruce Brown.
We touted this move when it happened. We're like,
kid could play for any playoff team in the East. And he's starting right now for the Nets and playing really good basketball. He plays both ends of the floor too. Like I would imagine, I haven't looked at the numbers, but I would bet that their defensive rating is higher when he's on the floor than when he's not, which is a stat that will come up again in a couple minutes. But for him specifically on a team that we are concerned about defensively, what they'll be able to do, just such a great pickup for them.
Yeah.
I wouldn't bring Kate. I saw Nash said that KD might be back before All-Star.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
I don't know why you would do that.
Yeah, I don't know.
What's the point? You've won 8 in a row. Mm-hmm. You got the second best record in the East. This is another team that, yeah, you want to get as much reps as you can with these three guys playing, but also you're going to the playoffs and you're the favorite to win the East. So
unless they've been so cautious with this injury that he's already at 100%, you know what I mean? Like,
it's possible.
Yeah. He's already totally fine. So it doesn't make sense to hold him out longer.
It's a hamstring though. How can, I mean,
yeah, that's a good, yeah. Why not just get him more rest? Honestly,
you never know with that.
Hamstrings are the worst.
Yeah. By the way, the Bucks are up 3 with 14 seconds left. So we'll talk about that game in a second.
The economy is made up of real people doing real stuff, and it affects everything. Which you obviously know since you're a real person doing real stuff. Marketplace is here to help you get smart about everything beyond the what of the day's business and economic news. We dig into the how and the why with the real people driving our economy. From big tech and interest rates to small businesses and what's happening at the Fed, Marketplace breaks it all down so you don't have to. Listen to Marketplace wherever you get your podcasts.
One more game to get through real quick before we talk about the Bucks and then hit a couple of headlines at the end.
The score, I didn't really, the Kings, they just can't play any defense. Oh, yeah. They're
the worst defense in NBA history.
Yeah.
It's not an exaggeration. They have the worst defensive rating in NBA history. The Knicks beat beat the Kings 140-121. The Knicks have like the 24th or 25th ranked offense in the NBA.
They play a slow pace. Like, how do they score 140 points? That's a joke.
Well, Emmanuel quickly gets 25 points in 20 minutes. Derrick Rose, Alec Burks, they're just the Kings. But after the game, so Luke Walton, it's very weird that he didn't get fired tonight. And I know that they only have like 4 games left before All-Star, but this is one of those games where you've lost 8 in a row and you gave up 140 points to a really bad offensive team. This is where you get fired. Now, it's possible they didn't fire him because they're in New York. And it would be weird to fire him and then, what do you do? Does he just take his own plane home? Like, what, how does that? So maybe that's what it is. Maybe they don't know who they want. Maybe they're not sure if Gentry is their interim, even though he probably is. And they want the All-Star break to figure out what's next. But I don't see a scenario where he's their coach after All-Star break. They're so bad. And he's just losing his mind left and right on the bench. It was either a timeout or the end of the game. Something happened. And the trainer or the assistant who hands him his clipboard walked up to hand him his clipboard and he just punched it out of the guy's hand.
Oh my God, really?
And then Alvin Gentry picked it up and people on Twitter were not happy. They're like, Alvin Gentry should not have to pick up Luke Walton's clipboard.
It wasn't like he was forced to do it, right? Yeah, I know. He probably decided to do it.
Well, he saw a clipboard on the floor. Yeah, picked it up.
Started drawing up an awesome play like immediately.
Alvin Gentry notoriously does not, I don't know if it's notoriously, famously is against littering. So he sees something on the floor and he picks it up.
And that's a good habit to be in, you know?
Yep. So this is, it's just a matter of time.
Yeah. I actually never thought about that in terms of them being on the road. Like, would it, like, does the owner typically, when they fire somebody, want to sit down face to face and like,
no. I don't know, man. I don't know. I guess it's different for every team, but it's the Kings. So right. This guy has been a bad owner from day one.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't think if they really had to get it, my thought process is who's their next game?
It's Detroit, I believe.
Is it in Detroit or is it in Sacramento?
Yeah, it's in Detroit. They're on a long road trip right now.
So, yeah, I guess it wouldn't have made a difference, honestly. I think if they wanted to fire him today, they'd fire him so that Gentry could coach in Detroit. But if they lose to Detroit on Friday, I would have been shocked. I just can't – if they lose to Detroit, fall to 10 losses in a row – I just don't see a scenario where Luke Walton is coaching the Kings on Sunday.
Yeah.
Maybe they fire him that night. Maybe they fly back to Sacramento and fire him on Saturday. But I just don't – how do they lose 10 in a row? And by the way, even if they beat Detroit, their last three games going into the break is Charlotte, Lakers, Portland. So they're – almost certainly going to lose their last two games going into the break, which would give them the out to fire Luke Walton.
Yeah.
At least for All-Star break.
And I got it. Like he does. Like this team is not like devoid of talent. It really is not like horrible in terms. It's not any, by any means, like a super talented roster, but they shouldn't be this bad. You shouldn't. And giving up 140 points to a team like the Knicks who play as slow as they do, is all you need to see. They are not playing hard. So you can't be the coach if that's the case.
Yeah. Yep. I would say watching Tyrese Haliburton, I would very much consider with this team blowing it up and building what you can around him.
He's awesome.
He's very good. He is a good shooter. I don't know that him and De'Aaron Fox necessarily fit that well together. And I think you could get a lot of value for De'Aaron Fox because he is really good too. I think at the end of the day, Tyrese Haliburton is going to be a better player.
Does he have the – do you see him having the ability to be a two or does he have to
No,
be
I think like, he's a point guard.
Yeah, okay. Because we know De'Aaron Fox is a one. Like he's not going to be off the ball. So I haven't seen the Kings play enough to discern whether that would ever work.
I just
work,
think but. You could get a lot of value for those guys. Now, I don't know. I mean, is it – situation where they're just doing what everybody else does and stack lottery picks and try to get, but you might have to do that if you're them. I just don't know what else there is to do, but at least you have Haliburton who is clearly has the shot to be like a top 10 point guard in the NBA at some point. So for the Knicks, I need them to win their next game. I need them to win their next game and get to 500. They got to do it. I mean, it's time, guys. Everything's going right. Julius Randle is literally, he is must watch basketball. If they're playing, whether you're a Knicks fan or not, it's hard to watch Julius Randle and not enjoy watching what he's doing this year. He is so damn talented. He's playing so good quickly. Like Elfrid Payton didn't play tonight. And offensively, they are better without him because Derrick Rose starts, who played great, and then quickly plays, who had 25 in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So they probably could be a better offensive team, but it's just Tibbs being Tibbs. I mean, he's going to, if he thinks Elfrid Payton's a better defensive player, he's going to play him.
Right. Yeah. It's kind of in the same vein. This is going back to Julius Randle, the same vein as like Tobias Harris and Doc Rivers. Like it seems like something Tibbs does has unlocked Julius Randle. This type of season is a huge credit to Julius Randle and how hard he's worked, but like he's just a different player and it has to do with just a fit.
Ben Tibbs' whole career. Mm-hmm. If you go back to Chicago, the Timberwolves situation was a mess, but when Jimmy Butler was there with Tibbs, like when they were not a bad team, it fell apart, but they were not terrible. But in Chicago, if you look at Chicago, a lot of guys had their best careers, like statistically speaking, playing for Tibbs. Was he wearing guys out? Was he playing them a lot of minutes? Whatever. It is What is he, a hard ass? All that stuff. Sure. But Luol Deng played the best basketball of his career. Jimmy Butler was playing. I mean, he emerged under Tibbs. Joakim Noah, Taj Gibson. I mean, there's just a lot of guys. Carlos Boozer. There's a bunch of point guards. After Derrick Rose got hurt, they were just shuffling point guards in and out. DJ Augustine reemerged in out there. John Lucas III, where is he? Has he ever played since then? Like, just guys coming in and out. He makes guys better. Aaron Brooks, I think, for a little while was back up there. Like, he just he's one of those coaches who understands. He sees players and he's like, this is what this guy can do. So I'm going to put him in a position to do this thing.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
There are a lot of coaches who I think say, yeah, he can do this thing, but if we're going to be good, he's got to do this thing and this thing and this thing. And I think there's some coaches who say, well, Elfrid Payton's a great defender, so I need him to be my defender and my distributor. And this guy does this and this guy does that. And if I put this guy on this place on the floor, he's going to be more successful than if he's on this. You know, I think he's that kind of coach. Mm-hmm. And guys tend to thrive when they play for him.
Yeah. And look, I don't think the Knicks are anywhere close to a title, but they're going to get playoff. It looks like they're going to get playoff basketball this year. Like, how, and that means something. It really does. So if you're a diehard Knicks fan,
Julius Randle's jersey might go in the rafters.
After the game, he just goes like this and he just raises his arms and they pull it off of him into the rafters.
Yeah. Milwaukee just beat New Orleans 129-125. More fool's gold. We'll start with the Bucks. More fool's gold for the Bucks. They've now won four in a row against four bad teams. Good for Mike Budenholzer. Interesting starting lineup in this game. Drew Holiday's still not playing, but instead of starting DJ Augustine or Bryn Forbes, they went huge and they started Bobby Portis at the four, Brooke Lopez at the five, and Giannis at the three. Which was interesting to me because I think Bobby Portis is actually better than Brooke Lopez at this point. So I don't know if that's going to be a thing. I think they probably did it more to match up with New Orleans, who plays huge.
Right, and try to slow down Zion.
But Giannis goes for 38, Middleton and 31. Four in a row for them. Not surprising. They beat one of the worst defensive teams in the NBA, scored 129 points against them. But nothing they do at this point on this stretch means anything to me because I'm still looking at them losing five in a row against good teams.
Right.
Right before this, we'll see how they finish out this stretch before the break, but it's still another bad team. Pelicans are still not a good team. They're trending towards becoming a good team. They're not a good team yet. So now they've won four in a row against bad teams. They're sort of just delaying the inevitable.
Yeah.
But they do need Drew back pretty badly.
Yeah, I am shocked at the lack of defense in this game was like shocking. You know, I know Drew is a great player, but the Bucks defense was putrid in this game. They eke out a win because the Pelicans were playing less defense somehow. But it's just weird. The Bucks are in a weird state to me. And their record is fantastic. They're going to win a shitload of games again. But like, I could see them losing in the first round. I really could. Thoughts on
possible. I think it's possible. Just, I don't know. We'll see who they match up with. It's so hard to say because of the East. We don't know who is going to emerge, who's going to get healthy, who's going to – it's just – the East is so up in the air. I mean, Brandon Ingram didn't have a good game, and I think Giannis was guarding him a lot of the game. And Zion had a great game, and I think Zion was being guarded a lot of times when I saw by like Brooke and Bobby Portis. That's a bad strategy.
Yeah.
They can't guard Zion.
He's way too athletic, yeah.
It was almost weird to me. I was like, I would have Giannis guarding Zion.
Yeah.
And have Chris Middleton guarding room. I don't understand what going big accomplishes.
Well, maybe.
It's not like Steven Adams is a factor.
Maybe they saw the numbers you bore out and they think it's more important to stop Brandon Ingram than Zion in order to get a win here.
Yeah, I don't think people look at that number that I keep bringing up about when he leads the team in scoring as much as I do, because I don't know that there's as much of a correlation. I'll tell you the number that is glaring is This team is the 28th ranked defense in the NBA. Their defense rating is 116 or like 115.8, something like that. When Zion is off the floor, that defensive rating goes all the way to 108, which would be the fourth best defense in the NBA. And when he's off the floor, they have their best defensive rating of any individual player when they're off the floor.
Significant and concerning, no doubt.
Yeah. So there's no denying that offensively, he has been unstoppable, particularly over the last 10 to 15 games. He's lighting the league on fire. But they're still losing games, and they are atrocious defensively. And it just so happens that when he's not on the floor, their defense is better. His net rating on the season, his individual net rating on the season is zero.
Wow. I actually was going to ask you that. Because we know his offense is outstanding, but if his defense is, I mean.
But isn't it concerning to you that when they play against good teams, that good teams are going to do the same thing to him that they do to Giannis? Mm-hmm. The difference with Giannis is Giannis is defensive player of the year. And we know.
It's absolutely concerning. But again, it's something he has to get better at, you know, and that's when I'll hammer him is if, you know, next year he's equally bad on defense. Then it's like red flag alert. But right now he still hasn't played a full NBA season. So that's why I am shocked that they're 14 and 18. I thought they were going to be much better than this. Stan Van, I don't know, like he's always hung his hat on defense. That's why it's so strange, kind of.
Yeah. I want to say this. I think I might be ready to say that Lonzo Ball's one of the most underrated players in the NBA.
He's fantastic defensively. We know that, like
great defensively. And we talk about most improved player a lot. If the award had as much to do with actual skill development, like improvement, as it does statistical improvement, then he'd be in the mix. Mm-hmm. Because no, I don't think in NBA history there's been a player who improved their shot as much as he has. He went 6 for 10 from three. And I said at the beginning of the year on this podcast, it looks like textbook. Like I think like college coaches might start showing film of him to like recruits and say, hey, look, you can do this.
Yeah. That if elbow he can do is it, tucked. Can do it. It's all about like his, it's so streamlined with the elbow.
He gets it off quick and it's off the dribble too. It's mm-hmm. not just catch and shoot. It's off the dribble and he's confident now. Like he's shooting the ball really well and defensively, he has one of the better net ratings for this team because their offense is very good when he's on there and he's great defensively.
I don't know.
Their issue is that they're starting Eric Bledsoe at the two. That's one of their big issues.
I've said it maybe 50 times on this podcast, but the Drew Holiday trade was nonsensical to me. It really was. I don't get it. Still don't get it. I think this is easily a playoff team if they keep Drew Holiday.
Yeah, I'm not sure why he has not played more either.
Right. Too young.
We'll see. They're not going to win a lot of games the way they play defense. They're not, even though they're scoring the ball and Zion is great, they are not Brooklyn. They're not one of these teams or they're not even like Houston last year where consistently game in and game out, they're going to score 125 points and just beat you without playing any defense. They got to get better defensively. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Two things before we wrap up the show. One is the Kyle Lowry stuff has started to pick up some steam again. There was a report that the Raptors want to do right by him and give him a chance to go play for a contender. Now, we just like any report, we don't know if it's true. But the three teams that have been directly sort of linked, one report that has come out is that if he gets traded, he wants to go to Philly. He's a Philly guy from Philly. And then the other two teams that have been in the mix, I guess, or that people have talked about is Miami and Los Angeles and the Clippers. Personally, I think he's still good enough when he's healthy that any of those three teams immediately becomes the second best team in their conference if they get him.
Yeah, I think so. When I heard it today, I was like kind of picturing it. I got really excited. So for Philly, because he's making a lot of money and it's on the last year of his deal.
Looking through all three teams too, how to make it work. It's tough.
Philly has a way to do it.
Danny Green.
Mike Scott.
Tony Bradley.
Yeah, Bradley or Ferguson. But then you get into, are you willing to give up
Tyrese Maxey?
And probably, or yeah, how interested are they in Thybulle? You know, do they like him or not? I'm not high on Thybulle.
I think you whatsoever. Give up anything other than the three guys that are your core pieces.
It's weird. And maybe this is one of those situations where you look back and you're like, what were you thinking? But I'm hesitant to give up Maxey. I really am.
I think we've learned our lesson. Now, just, obviously, Kyle Lowry is not James Harden, but I think we've learned our lesson on overvaluing young guys.
34.
I know that, but he's two things. He's an all-star point guard when he's healthy, and he's an NBA champion, which you can't put a value on. Although they have Danny Green, I understand that, but Danny Green's not quite what he was. Although he has won back-to-back championships, so we'll see.
Dwight Howard. I got Dwight Howard, too.
Now, I think Miami has a much easier path, but I did see somebody say like that Philly has the most to offer, but I don't see how that's the case unless they're saying like Maxey and Thybulle are valuable pieces.
Right.
But like Miami has three big contracts that are easily like Kelly Olynyk's expiring. It's $13 million. Andre Iguodala is $15 million expiring. And Myers Leonard, even though he's hurt, it's $9 million expiring. So just to make the money work, they could take Myers Leonard and then let him walk next year. So they could do it easily. But again, it's a matter of what does Toronto want back? Would Toronto do like matching numbers and Kendrick Nunn? Or would you just do like a protected first round pick? Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Is Miami sitting on anyone else's first round picks that are valuable or anything like that?
I don't think so, but I would do it. If I was Miami, I would give them a lottery protected. They're not going to be in the lottery. So right. I'd give them a lottery protected. I would even maybe even try to make it more protected, like top 16 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Something great. I don't know. So whatever they would do, but I would do it, or just a future one. I would try to do it for next year. Try to get it to where you know it's going to be not a great pick.
Yeah.
And then as far as the Clippers go, man, if you could replace Pat Beverly with Kyle Lowry, now we're talking about something pretty interesting out there.
I was going to say, then you're talking about a team that you feel a lot better going up against the Lakers. You know, I don't know if they would put him over the hump, but you feel
And let's not forget, like it's easy to forget because it seems like a long time ago. But as much as these reports say Kyle Lowry wants to go to Philly, the guy won an NBA championship with Kawhi Leonard and Serge Ibaka. They just get the gang back together. Yeah. You telling me he wouldn't want to go out to LA and play with those guys and potentially win another title? Come on, dude.
I truly think he would, but the problem is they don't have any draft picks. I don't see how they get this deal done. Like, seriously, what do they give up?
I was thinking that there would have to be another team. There'd have to be a third team. Maybe even they'd have to be a bigger deal. Miami has the easiest path to a one-to-one deal. I think Philly and potentially, I think Clippers and potentially even Philly would have to make it into a multi-team deal.
I just don't, what could the Clippers give up? The Clippers don't have much to give up that you would, you know? I don't think Luke Kennard has that much value.
I don't know.
I don't see a way that Terrence the Clippers Mann, make that work. Yeah.
Fiondu Cabangeli. Zubats. Zubats. I'll tell you what, Zubats is interesting for Toronto. No, they have no bigs. He's a young big.
Yeah, I just think if you're going to punt on Kyle Lowry in the last year of his deal, you're going to want young players and draft picks.
Zubats. Right?
Well, how old is Zubats? I thought he was like late 20s, no?
I don't know, but
he's a lot younger than I thought.
Yeah, he's 23, and if you get him and then you get a third team to throw in something, you know.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just
Zubats.
Feel like
Zubats.
I'm not high on Zubats at all, but
he's a good player. He's good. He's not, I mean, you're not building your team around him or anything, but he's good.
I that would be a hell of a move if the Clippers could land Kyle Lowry, because I don't see how they do it right now.
And plus the money, like they don't have a ton of contracts. Yeah, they would, I mean, Toronto would have to take back Pat Beverly.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something.
God, what a shitstorm that would be.
Yeah. We'll see. But either way, if any of those three teams land him, there's a game. If he's healthy, that's a game changer in my eyes, especially Miami, I think. But Philly, too. I mean, he's just a great addition to that team. It would be interesting to see what their lineups would look like. If it would be, I mean, I guess if Danny Green's getting traded, well, actually, I don't know. Like, does Seth Curry go to the bench, right?
Yeah, and I think that's okay. Danny Green has to be involved in the trade to make the money work.
He's not starting right now, right?
He started tonight. He started tonight, yeah.
So I guess they could replace him with Kyle Lowry and just be kind of smaller. Actually, yeah. They're still not small. That's not right, small.
Because Simmons is so versatile on defense, yeah.
Well, yeah, that would be a really good trade for them. That would be a really good trade for them. Okay, so the last thing I wanted to discuss tonight is what Kyrie Irving's been talking about. He posted, and then he sort of doubled down on it in the press conference today, which is he put out a post on Instagram saying that Kobe Bryant should be the logo of the NBA. He said, "I don't care what everyone thinks.
We knew that already."
He said, black kings built the NBA. And he's doubled down on that today. He said the same thing. He's right. However you want to say it, but black players built the NBA. The NBA is what it is because of black players. There's no way around that. But this is such a Kyrie move. Like Kyrie saying Kobe Bryant should be the logo because black players built the NBA. Why Kobe Bryant? To me, and I love Kobe, he's been well established on this show. And although our Kobe Bryant tribute episode is not in the feed because of some differences, whatever it is, things that happened, we talked extensively about how much we love Kobe on this show. That being said, as this is going to sound very dark, okay, but stick with me here. Mm-hmm. Every single player is going to die eventually. Okay. So I get it. It's fresh. I get it just happened, and I know a lot of people love Kobe Bryant. But because he died young doesn't mean he should be the logo that represents the NBA. He's a great player. He's a Hall of Famer. He's a top 10 player to ever play the game. But how do you justify, if it's just about who represents the NBA, how do you justify Kobe Bryant being the logo over Michael Jordan? Right? You can't from a basketball standpoint. He literally developed his entire professional career off of being a carbon copy of Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan saved the NBA, essentially, changed everything. Right? I mean, Magic and Larry a little bit before him, but everything changed after Michael Jordan. And he won 6 championships, and he's widely known as the best player ever, whatever. So if it's just about that, then it's not Kobe. If it's about having a black player represent the NBA because black players built the NBA, it's Bill Russell. And some people might even argue it's Bill Russell anyways, take race out of it. He won 11 championships. But then if you're putting race into it, there is no player who did more for black athletes, maybe in the history of definitely in the history of the league. There might be other guys close, but Bill Russell was the guy. He's on the front lines his whole life. But most specifically, playing in Boston, having to live in Boston, dealing with the Boston fans, and then all the things he did for the Civil Rights Act, for the Voting Act, for being the first NBA player to ever go to Africa, all the things that he did. So if it's about black kings built the NBA, then it's Bill Russell. This is nothing against Kobe. This is just Kyrie Irving using black kings built the NBA to justify saying that his favorite player, who he loved and looked up to for all the right reasons, should be the logo. I love Kobe. If he was the logo, I wouldn't be mad about it, but he's not the logo. I just don't think he is. I do agree that a black player should be the logo. If you're going to change it, then that's 100%. He's not wrong about that.
Look, I don't have much to add. I agree with everything you're saying. The problem is that Kyrie doesn't care what you have to say.
He made that perfect. But it's just like going back. It was a big thing on Twitter all day.
I know. Yeah. No, it's a good point. And you put it into perspective really well. It would be an amazing honor. Like if the NBA was like, you know what, we're going to honor Kobe Bryant. It was a tragic loss. He's going to be the new logo. That'd be amazing. but it's not like,
I think there's other ways, and I think they're doing it. I think they're going to consistently do it. And I think he'll be honored in so many ways.
Yeah.
And he deserves to be honored in every way, but there's just look, in 100 years, if the NBA is still around, people are going to say, why is Kobe Bryant the logo? Because it'll be 100 years since he died. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like making him the logo a year after he died, because he died young. It'll be, you're going to look back on it and be like, well, a lot of people died.
Right.
And that's not to be insensitive. I'm not trying to be.
No. You know, you're making
it. But I know that people will hear it and be like, oh, that he just died. Dude, I get it. But I think ultimately when you look back on it, you're not going to say, well, when people are like, why is Kobe Bryant the logo? Well, we decided a year after he died to make him the logo. Is that it? Well, he was a great player. Well, yeah, there's a lot of great players. Well, he's black. Well, yeah, there's a lot of black guys who did more for the league than he did. You know, it's just like, I don't know. It's just a black player should represent the league. Absolutely. A black player should be the face of the league or the logo if they change it. Absolutely. I just don't think it should be a guy. It should be Kobe just because he died a year ago.
Yeah, that's fair. It's fair.
I don't know that they're going to change the logo.
Yeah,
they might.
I
would be, the only problem, I think we've mentioned this on the show before too. The only problem with, MJ potentially being the logo is Jordan Brand.
Right.
Like the only logo you would use for MJ would be the Jumpman logo. And how does that work? But then, I mean, I guess technically if you were going to change, now this is getting into the whole business side of it, but technically if you were going to change the NBA logo to the Jordan Brand logo and you just did a lifetime deal with Jordan Brand and made all the NBA apparel Jordan Brand.
I think you want your logo for the whole association to be separate from a brand, but that's just me.
Well, you can still have the same color scheme with the Jumpman in it.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, it would be tough. Like, how do you do that?
I always thought, like, I like the NBA logo the way, like, I just think it's like aesthetically pleasing. You know, I don't even care if the guy's black or white. You know, like,
well, why the logo is what it is, right?
I don't really know. I mean,
it's just something they commissioned an artist to do the logo, and he found a picture of Jerry West.
Right.
There was no like reason. He just found a good picture.
Right. It's not really, I don't know. I don't,
but if you're going to change it, there should be a reason, and it should be an honor, like you said.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
But it shouldn't, I don't think it should be a memorial. I think there are ways to memorialize and I also think this is also part of the continued reaction to the fact that NBA players just don't die young. Like we don't see it often. Like that's not true. NBA players have died young. I mean, the great NBA players, the greatest of the greats, not even, and MVPs. Remember, I told you that he was the fourth MVP in the history of the league to ever die.
Yeah.
Like, Bill Russell's on here doing PSAs for COVID shots.
Yeah. Like, insane.
You know, so I think that's part of it is just, it was so shocking that people are like, oh, we got to do something. We do. We should memorialize him and honor him for the rest of our lives. I don't think being the logo in the of the league is the way to memorialize, because he didn't represent the league. In fact, he had quite the controversy that a lot of people would say, I don't know that this guy should be the face of the league.
Right.
And he got acquitted. It is what it is. It's over now. But there are people who, when he passed away, I know for a fact, were like, why is everybody so? I mean, you should be sad that a guy died, but people are like, well, didn't this guy have rape charges?
Yeah.
There's still people who think that way about him. So I don't know. I think it would be weird. But a lot of people were, it was weirdly one of the few things on NBA Twitter that people were just like, okay. Usually it's like this heated debates, right? And it's just like,
well, I just Kobe. Think because Kobe is so beloved, you know, so it's nobody's.
Well, I think
I'm
people
actually, on Twitter, I'm surprised there was no jackass that was like brought up the. And there probably was on Twitter. I didn't read the whole thing, but no, I'm with you.
But I think a lot of people also don't want to take the stance that I'm taking, which is everyone dies, which is really the whole thing is that in 50 years, 100 years, what Michael Jordan will have passed away. And then they'll say, well, why is Kobe Bryant the logo? And they say he died young. And then the question will be, so he just made him the logo of the league for dying young?
Right.
You know, yeah, I think
it doesn't check out totally.
Yeah. And it's a reactionary thing. And I, back to the Kyrie thing, it's just very Kyrie to to bring the black people built the NBA. So Kobe Bryant should be the one.
And then to leave.
The guy I want should be the one because you froze up there for a second. What did you say?
Yeah. Well, to lead it off with, I don't care what anybody says, and then plant your flag there is very Kyrie. Yeah.
Oh, well, you know what? I'd probably go with Jordan, but if it wasn't Jordan, I'd probably have to, even though I have a very hard stance that anything pre-1980 doesn't really count in terms of the actual basketball that was played, it'd be hard to fight Bill Russell being the logo.
I do think if you're going to change it, you would want to modernize it more and have Jordan would make more sense to me because it's the logo. Jordan's the logo should be representing the game of basketball. And
Jordan's the only one.
Yeah.
He's literally the only one. The only player that could ever really have a legit shot would be LeBron, but he's too polarizing.
Yeah.
Like there's too many people that dislike LeBron. I don't think they would do it. And then he's moved teams so often but he is the guy. Like LeBron's the guy, really, but it's MJ.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's gonna happen. I don't know that the league has ever even been a discussion.
I think it's come up. I think it's come up maybe just on Twitter, but
there's also a big contingency of people on Twitter who are just like they're like you, like the logo's fine.
Yeah, I like the logo.
I don't care. I honestly don't care. Mm-hmm. But I do agree that if it's gonna change, make it I don't even think it has to be said that if it changed that it would be a black player. Because what white player, what white player at this point would it be? You know, there is none.
Right.
The only other person would be if you were to like make it David Stern.
That'd be a boring logo, or like, David Stern's crossing somebody up on the logo,
just sitting with his arms crossed at his desk.
Yeah. Why would you make?
But he's a controversial. He's controversial now too. Everybody becomes controversial with his China stuff. You know, so. Yeah, that would be insane. They make the commissioner the logo. The commissioner did a whole lot for us. Let's make him the logo.
Yeah.
Oh, it'd be crazy. All right. Well, we'll be back on Monday. Everyone have a good weekend.
Top shots tomorrow.
Top shot. Big day tomorrow. We're going to be rich. We might not be doing a podcast. We might be on an island somewhere after this weekend.
Mm-hmm. No, if we win, we'll do a podcast to just say fuck you, I think, right? To everybody or no?
Yeah, we'll probably say fuck you to everybody. And then maybe we'll retire.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Later. Have a good weekend.
Later.